This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner. Hat open three for the tie. Good! Riley Hat knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Bishop Miege! 62 McPherson, 58 Miege in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. Even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Mr. Bracket himself, Steve Sell.
Busted bracket, maybe.
Steve, I was discussing this earlier today, that this is the worst day of the year. And I'll explain to you why. Not only is it a gloomy Monday, but it's the Monday following the best weekend of the year. You've got the NCAA tournament. 4 straight days of March Madness. You throw in St. Patrick's Day in the middle.
Tiger.
You throw in Tiger Woods. It's the best weekend of the year, and it's the worst Monday of the year.
It's
because
like a big letdown.
We are so used to the craziness, the mayhem, and it went Thursday through Sunday. What a weekend of college basketball. I know you watched a lot of college basketball this weekend.
I watched a lot of it. Yeah.
And that's what I'm planning on talking about almost all of today, because I know that everybody says this every year, but this might have been the most crazy first weekend of college basketball in the tournament ever. What an unbelievably fun, especially for the local teams, except Wichita State, with KU and K-State making the Sweet 16. But I wrote down a huge list of weird things that happened over the weekend, and it fills up the entire page.
Oh.
It was one of the weirdest weekends, most exciting weekends, and the opening round of the tournament was phenomenal. One of the most fun weekends I've had watching college basketball in a long time. I don't know if you agree the same way, but this was such a fun weekend. And now it's Monday, and we have to wait 3 more days to see it all play back out.
Well, I think you had so many upsets and some couple games, really ugly games, but when you lose half your top seeds, you lose half your number 2 seeds, you lose the number 3 seed that some people thought was a 1 seed, and almost every guy on ESPN, Michigan State, picked them. You know, I think 4 of the 6 guys on ESPN all had Michigan State winning it all, and they go out in the second round. It was just wacky. I of course, a 1 beating a 16. I always thought KU would be the team, would be a 1 that would lose to a 16. I just had that sinking feeling.
Every KU fan was afraid of that.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, I've talked to a lot of my friends that are KU fans, and they always said, we will be the one that has to wear the honor of shame. But what this weekend told me is that the parity in college basketball exists like it's never existed before.
Yeah.
And the gap from the elite teams to the, you know, just other tournament teams has really narrowed. I mean, it is really tight now. I mean, we still have some number ones left. We still have some good teams left. But Nevada.
Go Wolfpack.
The Wolfpack in there.
They're a good team.
Loyola. They're playing Loyola, I believe it is. Kansas State. I don't get mad, K-State fans, but I thought, you know, they'd be 1-3 because I thought they would play in the second round against Virginia and get beat. But when UMBC knocked off Virginia in the greatest upset in the history of college basketball, that opened the door for Kansas State, because everyone knew UMBC, there's no way they're going to win another game.
The Retrievers.
They used up they used up everything they had in that Virginia game. Played, you know, they could, I still say they could play 100 more times, Virginia would win 100 more, And it took that 101st game for it to happen. Then you look on the other side, Villanova looks like a lock to me.
They're good.
They're good. They're really good. I've got Duke making it from that side.
They're good.
I got them beating KU. I got Duke in there. And I've got, who's my other one? Oh, I lost North Carolina. So
yeah, that wasn't a very good pick.
That probably wasn't. But the number one, Xavier, or Xavier, as some call him.
I don't think anybody calls him Xavier.
I do. I call him Xavier. But Xavier got knocked out, which did not surprise me. I said they were the worst number one seed. In fact, I picked Florida State to beat Xavier. That was one of my upset picks.
Steve Bracketology.
Yeah, I felt pretty good about that. And then North Carolina lays an egg. Now, Michigan's a really good team, but I felt like North Carolina really stunk out the joint.
I want to talk about the weird upset, the Virginia-UMBC game, for just a moment. Before we dive into some other things, KU, K-State in the Sweet 16, that game was maybe one of the weirdest games I've ever seen, besides UMBC playing K-State last night. That might have been the worst game I've ever seen.
That was one ugly game. Man.
But the Maryland-Baltimore County game against Virginia, not only did they beat a 1 seed, a 16 beat a 1 finally, not only that, this was the number 1 overall seed. And the comparison that I could make is when I was in high school, I would go play tennis with one of my good friends, Spencer. He played on the high school tennis team. I certainly did not. We would go play tennis, and he was so much better than me that the way I played was so bad that I made him bad. And because I was so terrible, it made him get out of his rhythm. And he would miss shots, and he would get frustrated. And because I was so bad, I could win. And that's almost the theory here with UMBC and Virginia, that Maryland-Baltimore County was so bad, and they did things so weird that Virginia didn't know what to do.
They didn't.
And Virginia was so thrown off. Defensively, they didn't give up 70 points in one game this year, and they give it up to a 5'6" point guard.
They weighed about 110
pounds. And Jairus Lyles, who had bounced around at two other small mid-major programs. I mean,
they scored 53 points in the second half.
53 points and a half.
There's a lot of games
that team.
There's a lot of games Virginia didn't give up 53 in a game.
Virginia is an incredibly good team. And for them to lay that big of an egg was maybe one of the biggest shockers I've ever seen. And you made the statement that it was the biggest upset in college basketball history. I might even take it a step further. That might have been one of the biggest upsets in sports history,
yeah.
American sports history.
Yeah.
You think about the 1980 USSR versus USA hockey game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Russia was beatable, and the USA was good. UMBC is terrible.
They showed it last night.
That team is awful.
They looked like a 16 last night.
And they beat the number one team of the country that just put up one of the most incredible regular seasons of all time. And UMBC is awful.
They're not good.
I mean, they're terrible. And for them to win that game, it is almost mind-blowing. They were a 21-point underdog and won by 20. That is outrageous.
Yeah.
And the fact that they won that game, to me, might be the greatest upset in sports history.
Could you think
about the Yankees up 3-0
yeah.
on Boston? It doesn't have anything on this. Boston was good. They won the World Series. UMBC is not going to win the national championship.
It'd be like me beating Tregg Fall in a head-to-head match for the city championship.
That's true. You are a severe underdog.
I would. Tregg would have to play with one hand tied behind his back, probably, to not beat me.
So that was one of the weirdest things of the weekend. I made a list of other weird things that I wanted to talk about. So that was weird. That was on Friday night. On Thursday, Arizona, who a lot of people thought might be one of the best teams in the country, got absolutely obliterated by Buffalo. The Pac-12 didn't get a team to Friday of the NCAA tournament, and Arizona looked like the biggest bunch of idiots you've ever seen.
They
I can't even believe how bad they got beat.
They
that
looked
game.
Like they most of their players had 1 foot out the door and ready to cash in that NBA paycheck because they were disinterested, unengaged, and Buffalo had a UMBC-like out-of-body experience, and Buffalo wasn't good. They were better than UMBC, though.
Everybody's better than UMBC.
Yeah, but Arizona, I mean, I think those guys must have felt like the NCAA is going to come a-knocking here in about a month, and they're going to say, even if you had won it, you'd have to give it up, because I got a feeling there is all sorts of skeletons about to come out of the closet there.
Then the other weird thing that happened Friday, Wichita State collapses against Marshall. Wichita State, I'm very serious, on November 28th, let's say they're two games into their season, three games, five games, I don't know how many they would have been in by then. Wichita State was 10 times the team they were in November than they were in March.
Yeah,
and that's one of the weirdest transformations I've seen.
That was very perplexing to me. That Wichita State team, I really liked them. I was like you. I liked them even in December. I thought they had great depth. But all of a sudden, they couldn't play. They couldn't guard their shadow. And then I just felt like Greg Marshall almost had too many good players, and he couldn't figure out who to play when. Because 1 through 10, I think they have as good a talent
as anybody.
Yeah, if you go 1 through 10, their 8 and 9 guys are better than about anybody else in the country. Darryl Willis.
Way better than KU's.
Darryl Willis could play for anybody. Austin Reeves could play for anybody. And to watch that game and just, I mean, if it's not for Connor Francamp, they get rolled. I mean, they really get rolled.
What happened to Shaq Morris?
Yeah, Shaq just kind of disappeared. And I really felt bad for Landry Shamet. You know, second half, he really struggled handling the basketball. And, you know, they talk about him as an NBA player, but, you know, against pressure defense, he wasn't very strong with the basketball. He's a great player. I mean, he's a fantastic player, but he just, you know, they just looked out of sorts. You know, they didn't have much inside defense. And again, I just felt like they had so many players. Greg Marshall couldn't decide who to play when, and their defense just went south. It went south basically for the last month of the season.
And then also on Friday, my Arkansas Razorbacks really disappointed me. How do you get behind 21-2 to start a game in the NCAA tournament? How does that happen?
I don't know.
How can you ever get behind 21-2?
I know you were watching that game. I was not watching that game, and I kept looking at the score, and finally I said, well, they must have forgot to put a 1 in front of their
21-2?
Yeah, 21-2, and the next thing I know, they're down like 4.
Yeah, then they went up 29-27.
Yeah, that was just
crazy. I was bummed for them, but that was weird. Then you get to Saturday, the Loyola buzzer beater. That was fun to watch that team. Sister Jean. Sister Jean has captured the hearts of America. Michigan's buzzer beater. The Loyola team, do you remember me saying on Wednesday, Steve, Loyola's a team that can make some noise?
Yeah,
They've got two guys from Blue Valley Northwest, Clayton Custer. I played sports against him my entire
Custer
life.
Custer hit the game winner, if I remember right.
He hit the game winner in the second game.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, I grew up playing against that guy my entire life. He is one heck of a competitor. He doesn't look like he's going to be the best player on the floor, but you just watch the way he controls games, and it was very impressive. Then you get to Sunday. And Sunday was one weird day. Syracuse holds Michigan State to about the worst three-point shooting and offensive performance
3-2 zone
you'll ever see.
And Jim Boeheim went against the book by fouling toward the end of the game and making them so they couldn't hit the game-tying three. He kept fouling them. They'd get within one, and then Michigan State would foul Syracuse. Syracuse would make their free throws, and then Michigan State would get the ball back. Syracuse would foul again. So they couldn't ever hit that tying three.
And this game happened in Detroit.
Yeah, and he said, you know, Boeheim always says, I go with the odds. He says the odds on missing the free throw, getting the perfect tip out, and hitting the winning shot are pretty astronomical.
So that game happens in Detroit. Michigan State, who many people thought could win a national championship.
Jay Billis.
Loses at home, essentially.
Right.
Then, in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Ugh.
They didn't resemble the national champion team from a year ago at all. They didn't even resemble the national runner-up final from 2 years ago. They were horrible. That's the first time in a long time, I think since the late 80s, that North Carolina lost a game that was played in North Carolina
in
the
tournament. And Roy had never lost a game that bad in the tournament.
Then you get Nevada down 22 points, beating Cincinnati, and coming back to beat them, and the Bearcats just imploded. Then you get the other part of Cincinnati, Xavier, as you call them, Xavier. Yeah. They lose to Florida State. Then you get UMBC and K-State playing the ugliest game of all time. We'll talk about that a little bit more, as well as KU taking on Seton Hall. But Sunday was just a weird, weird day.
There were some really ugly games, too, on Sunday. There's a lot of 3-2 zones, a lot of bad shooting, though. The cream will rise to the top, though. I just got a feeling. Now we're in the Sweet 16 and get to the Elite Eight, I don't think you're going to see as many long shots come in.
Let's take our first break, and we will dive into KU and K-State, what they did over the weekend, and how they got into the Sweet 16. We just talked a little bit about Wichita State. KU and K-State NCAA tournament coming up after this on According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening at midkansasonline.com. Good to be back, Steve. We took the weekend off. I guess I took the weekend off.
Yeah.
You were still here slaving away.
Oh, I was going hard.
Yeah, I went back up to Kansas City, spent a little bit of time in the famous Brown basement, watched the basketball. This is my March Madness tradition, Steve. I watch every game of the NCAA tournament, and I've been doing it for a long time. It's a lifestyle. When you're in the Brown basement, you eat some beer-soaked brats, you eat hamburgers, sure. You get baked beans, sure. You get all the good stuff.
Good.
And there's nothing better than watching it there. It is more of a KU house as well. I won't say more of a KU house. It is a KU house.
I was going to say.
And so I watch.
You don't find many K-State houses in, K-State houses in Kansas City.
I don't know about that. I know a lot of K-State fans.
Yeah, but it just seems like KU is a Kansas City to me. I guess because I grew up with a bunch of Kansas City guys that, you know, I lived in a fraternity with.
So as we look back to what KU and K-State did in the opening round of the NCAA tournament last weekend, I think the main thing that we have to say is they both made it through the weekend.
Survive in advance.
They both made it through the weekend. KU wasn't really pretty against Penn in the first game. They won by 16. They were never in doubt. Yeah. But it was a weird game. They never really looked smooth. And that can happen first game of a tournament. And you hear Coach Kidman, Coach Strathman talk about it all the time. Then against Seton Hall, I thought they played pretty well. And I thought that they, in the second half, were in control of the game and that I was never worried. The KU fans I was watching with were a little bit nervous.
I was apoplectic.
Because Seton Hall just kept having answers.
Well, and then the Carrington guy, was it Carrington?
Yeah, Kadeen Carrington.
He was just making threes from everywhere, and they just couldn't seem to get a hand in his face. You know, KU survived. Devontae was not good. He had nine.
But Malik Newman has been awesome.
Yeah, and Malik Newman's the guy that always scares me the most because you never know what he's going to do. He's either going to go get four, he's going to get 28 like he did on Saturday, and he was 8-8 from the line, 8-14 from the field. Zvi had 16 on 16 shots, so, you know, that's a so-so day. But Zvi saw that the three-point shot wasn't going. He started taking it to the basket, so I like that. And LeGerald Vick, you know, stepped up.
He made some big threes.
Had a nice game. He's very economical on his threes. He generally doesn't force any. And as a bouquet, that was the key of the game, because when he was in the game, there was never any doubt about who the better team was. When he was not in the game, their big guy, the Mr. 24-23, just went crazy. Their big post guy, he was just taking Lightfoot and throwing him around like a rag doll. I mean, what a great effort by that guy. But again, KU wins, survive in advance. Now they get Clemson. You know, that's one.
They're 4-point favorites, and that surprises me. I thought they would be a little bit more heavily favored.
Well, Clemson played out of their mind against Auburn.
Yeah, that was another weird thing that happened yesterday. Yeah. Auburn just got destroyed.
Oh, my God. And Charles Barkley was just taking so much heat.
Oh, Chuck.
Chuck, the Chuckster, was really getting – he was taking a lot of heat. But Clemson's the kind of team that always worries me because they're very physical. I don't think they shoot it great. But I said at the start, I had it set up for KU and Duke to meet in the Elite Eight. And right now, unless I know Duke's going to get there. Whether KU does is another story. I think if KU shoots it well from three, they'll get there.
And KU's in Omaha, too. Mm-hmm. So a lot like it was this weekend down in Wichita, which I heard was just an awesome atmosphere for all the games that they had at their sessions there. KU will play Clemson at 6 o'clock, and then you mentioned Syracuse and Duke. They'll play the late game on Friday night. Getting back to K-State, they beat Creighton and really, I thought, played well on Friday.
They were really good.
They win by 10. Creighton was a little off, and Marcus Foster, God, he played terrible. And you know he wanted to win that game so bad.
Right.
And you could see his emotions getting the best of him at the end of the game. But K-State played well. And especially without Dean Wade, I went, wow, this was a big win. Last night, in the game against the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, that was, seriously, about the ugliest game I've ever watched.
Yeah.
K-State, what, they missed the first 10 shots of the game?
Something like that.
And K-State didn't just miss all night. They bricked. They just were throwing up clunkers from deep. Throwing up layups that hit off the shot clock. Well, it was ugly.
They only got 4 points off their bench, and they shoot 18 of 44, 1 of 12 from 3.
8%.
Right. 13 of 18 from the free throw line, but there's no doubt they missed Dean Wade.
Oh, yeah.
And if he's got a stress fracture, he's not going to play in the tournament.
So I saw a quote. He said he's 95% or might have been 98% sure he's going to play in the Sweet 16
against
Kentucky.
Well, the only thing is about that, you probably can't hurt it any more than it's already hurt. So it just comes down to how much pain, you know, he can tolerate. But, boy, they miss him really bad.
For them to win that Creighton game without Dean Wade, very impressive. I do think that the McPherson Bullpups could have given UMBC a run for their money with the way they played last night.
That was ugly.
So that just shows you how bad UMBC was. I do think K-State needs Dean Wade to have a chance to beat Kentucky because they can't play like that again or they will get destroyed.
Well, I just think they're going to get dunked on something silly.
That's the thing about Kentucky. They're so big, but K-State does have some big guys.
And they can ugly up a game. We saw it last night. That's what
I don't know who uglied it up more, UMBC or K-State.
That's what they have to do, though, against Kentucky. They can't match. I mean, Kentucky's got, what, 5 McDonald's All-Americans, something like that. Four in their starting lineup. I mean, man for man, it's a mismatch. But you put them together as a team, and it's a different story. And K-State is great at controlling tempo. You know, Jara, he can probably control the tempo a little bit. Barry Brown's got to be Barry Brown. And I just don't see it without Dean Wade. I just don't see it. They can beat Kentucky without Dean Wade.
But good for Bruce Weber. Good for K-State getting back to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I heard somebody from K-State said, oh, God, another win for Weber. That just assures him of being back next year. So K-State people have got to accept Bruce Weber. The guy's got him in the Sweet 16. I mean, there might have been a lot of coaches that couldn't get him in the Sweet 16. So, hey.
I think I could have got him in the Sweet 16 last night.
Embrace the guy. You know, he's great. You know, I know he says a lot of silly things and kind of goes crazy on the side.
He said something at halftime about, yeah, it was great defense. That's about the opposite of great defense as there could be.
Yeah.
But good for them, and, you know, for K-State to have lost that game, that would have been the most Bruce Weber game to lose of all time.
That had been so much ammunition for there's Wildcat fans that just don't like Bruce Weber. I mean, it's you talk to him, you say Bruce Weber, and it's like, he's getting, but they just have never warmed up to him. If he beats Kentucky, he's the mayor of Manhattan.
Yeah.
Go ahead and have the election, and he wins 80% of the popular vote.
Yeah, that would be, it'd be good for them. K-State will play the late game in Atlanta on Thursday night, take on Kentucky. They are 5.5-point dogs to open up the weekend, and we'll see how much that line moves. We'll take one final break. When we come back, I want to talk about the rest of this NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16 that is coming up Thursday and Friday, Elite Eight action on Saturday and Sunday. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online at midkansasonline.com. Also, if you missed any of the previous episodes, you want to go back and listen to Steve and I's expert analysis on the NCAA tournament, go download the show on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. There you go. Look at that, Steve.
Stepped
we
right
even
up.
Took the weekend off, and you
oh,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Up. Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of KBBE Sports and the NCAA tournament, we had our tournament bracket going, and we're still a long way away from this thing being over. But we had some people that stepped up to the plate and did a good job throughout that first round. We have Rika Don in first place.
Who?
I don't know Rika Don.
Okay.
And then behind there is Pup Fan Fred TRK.
Okay.
You got to feel who that is. See, it makes it hard because nobody used their real names.
Yeah.
MJ Reith at number three.
Okay.
And Steve Sell in fourth place.
Look
overall.
At him. Look at him go.
It's pretty good.
Well, you know, I pick Kentucky's going to be my. I'm going to zoom up there because of Kentucky. I'm just telling you.
I had to put your bracket in for you.
Yeah.
Because you didn't figure that out.
No, that technology.
Yeah, it's too tough. Well, tomorrow on our show, we're going to have Coach Strathman in, and we're going to recap the McPherson Girls State Championship season, talk all about the state tournament, talk about what happened throughout the regular season, as well as look ahead to what's coming up next season. And so this will be a show that you will not want to miss. Mark your calendars tomorrow, 12:30 to 1. Before we dive into all of that tomorrow, I want to give you my rankings of the final 16 teams left in the NCAA tournament and how I think this is going to play out.
Your power poll.
Yeah, my power rankings.
Okay.
Who would you guess I have at number 16?
Oh, at the worst?
Yeah, at the worst.
Oh, I'd have to look at my list. I thought you were going to start with number one, so.
I think you could probably take a guess at my number one.
Yeah, let me look here. I'm going to say your worst team is probably, God, K-State.
I put Florida State.
Okay.
I put K-State at 15.
I had
just because I don't think they have a shot to win this week.
That was one of my other ups. I picked Florida to beat Xavier or Xavier.
Xavier. Well, my number one, I have a tie for first because I think they're both at about the same spot.
Villanova.
Duke and Villanova.
Yeah.
I mean, those two teams looked way more prepared for the NCAA tournament and for the weekend than any other team. And when you get teams like Duke, you get teams like Villanova, there's no moment that's too big for them. And that's kind of why I like those teams. I heard a stat on radio this weekend that Villanova is the first team to ever win 32 games or more in four consecutive seasons.
Wow.
And that is one incredible
run. And they
fly
under the radar all year, every year. No one,
because of that Big East.
They don't think of them as a blue blood.
Even though they're turning into one. I don't know if anybody here, if we could pick up any signal of Westwood One's radio coverage of the NCAA tournament, but it is absolutely phenomenal. I listen to it for a lot of the week. They sort of bounce in and out of games. It's kind of like the Red Zone. If you guys get a chance, anybody, Westwood One Radio, it's awesome for this upcoming weekend.
If you look at that East bracket, it's the closest thing to being halfway normal.
Yeah.
One Villanova, three Texas Tech, two Purdue, five, or is that a six?
Five West Virginia.
West Virginia, so That's a pretty good chalky bracket. Then you go KU 1, Clemson 5, Syracuse 11, Duke 2. So you got 1 and 2 there. The West is just, it's all crazy. 9 Florida State, 4 Gonzaga, 3 Michigan, 7 Texas A&M. And then, of course, the really crazy one, 9 K-State, 5 Kentucky, 11 Loyola Chicago, and 7 Nevada. Either Loyola of Chicago or Nevada is going to be one victory away from making the Final Four. That's insane. So
the South bracket, it's the first time ever
that
there's none of the top four. Mm-hmm. First time ever. So I have Duke and Villanova as the top two left. I've got KU at number three. I've got Kentucky at four, Michigan 5, Gonzaga 6, Texas Tech 7, 8 West Virginia. that I think those eight teams have the best chance to advance into the round of eight. Now, there's a couple of weird spots there because some of those teams play each other.
Right.
West Virginia will be playing Villanova. I don't know if any of the other ones will cross over. But I just don't feel great about Florida State's chances against Gonzaga.
Oh, I don't either.
Because Gonzaga's a team that has been
there. Had Gonzaga beating Florida State in my bracket in this round. So, I'm just kind of proud of that pick. I don't know why. That's just one of my flyer picks that came through. North Carolina really let me down because if North Carolina would have won, I'd had everybody in that bracket there. So, 9 left, feel pretty good about that. And especially normally in past, I always thought about 11 or 12 was a pretty good number. 9's not really a good number. That just tells you how bad, the ups, or I shouldn't say bad, but just how many upsets there were.
And then I have Purdue and Nevada right outside the top 8.
Yeah,
Purdue, I think Purdue can beat Texas Tech.
Purdue lost their big man, though.
Isaac
really
Haas.
Yeah.
And then I think Nevada has a great chance to beat Loyola Chicago. And if you get Nevada to take on Kentucky, Nevada's not a bad team. That they've got the two brothers or cousins or whatever they are. That Nevada all year long, to me, has been a team that's been impressive. And I've been reading things all year long about Nevada being a team that can get things done. So
is that Musselman's team?
Yes.
Eric Musselman?
He had some fun post-game interviews over the weekend. So that's kind of our outlook on the NCAA tournament and the way that we see things playing out. Reminder, tomorrow we'll have Coach Strathman on to talk about the girls' team and their run to a state championship. Steve, I think this will be a fun show tomorrow. I'm looking forward to getting him in here.
Coach Strathman will do a great job. I watched the KU game with him the other night. He and Coach Kinman and I watched it, and I tried to restrain myself because when I watch KU, I get a little upset sometimes with some of their
play. Devontae can't shoot it at all.
Yeah.
I tried to,
since I was in the house of somebody else. Now, if it had been my own house, I probably would have been yelling, but I was in, Coach Strathman's house, and I didn't want to come off looking like an idiot, so I toned it down a little bit.
We do our best to do that all the time, and sometimes it's really difficult.
Exactly.
All right, we'll wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.